Yes, sir.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone, to the introductory episode of The Alien Offensive. So, like I say, this is the very first episode of our new podcast. We wanted to bring on a sci-fi video game, fantasy culture type podcast, basically for all you geeks and nerds out there, you gamers out there. We think that this will be something that you'll probably enjoy. We'd like to go through a little bit of our backgrounds in terms of what we enjoy, but we're going to kind of tailor that probably to what we're talking about for the day, so you can just kind of get an idea of what we're going to be doing. We're looking for an hour podcast or so. And initially here, we're going to be recording these offline, so there won't be any chance for any of you to call in. But eventually, we hopefully to move to a point where you guys can call in if you've got an opinion on what we're talking about. And for our very first show, we've decided on two topics. We think that'll be more than probably more than enough. We could probably have more material out of these than we can go through in an hour. But number one is really the state of Lucasfilm. There's a lot of, I don't know if you'd call it controversy going around, but a lot of negativity towards the franchise right now. People talking about boycotting the new Han Solo movie. A lot of, you know, half people loving The Last Jedi, half people hating The Last Jedi. People's interesting opinions on The Force Awakens, on Rogue One. Thoughts about what Han Solo or the Solo movie will be like. All that kind of thing is going on. We know that there's that new show in development with Jon Favreau as the director. It's a live-action Star Wars show and probably like a more of a seedy underbelly type show where you don't have to have Jedi so much and spend as much on effects, mm-hmm. things like that. And also, you know, there's the new novels that are coming out, the new the games that have come out. So this will probably be a good 3 or 4 episode probably review of the franchise as a whole or Lucasfilm as a whole. But we're going to focus on today is basically the state of the new films, Kathleen Kennedy, and our problems and or enjoyments of new episodes and new things that have been made and kind of giving our reviews on that. And I think that we're going to cover topics in a better way than I see done on most podcasts I see or review on YouTube or other places. I feel like people go off too much onto tangents of anger over things that aren't so important as opposed to just focusing on this is a single movie. What about this is not good? What about this is good? And I think that's what we're going to try to do with something a little more like that. But also, of course, we'll mend it into the arc of all the new stuff. But so if you recognize my voice, my name is Mark Demas. I do host on the Sports Offensive podcast. And across the table from me for this podcast is Nate Dogg from South Dakota, who you've also heard on the Sports Offensive. JP is not on this podcast. JP is not really a part of the geek culture. He is more of a true sports enthusiast in that that's what he truly loves deep down, whereas my allegiances are split probably about 60% nerd and then 40% sport, mostly because of the fact that I'm not coordinated or very good at sports. Nate, how would you kind of break out your preference?
So I'm kind of a mix, I think, Mark. I am a big sports guy, but also a big sci-fi person as well. I always grew up, my dad was a big Star Wars guy, Star Trek, and, you know, my brothers and I had all the He-Man toys and G.I. Joe and Transformers, and I mean, that was just kind of a huge part of my growing up, and yeah, I think this is going to be fun. I just am anxious to see kind of where it leads us as far as are we going to get into the grid of some theories? Are we going to debate some topics? Are we going to just talk some opinions and just kind of bounce off each other? So looking forward to it, man. Thanks
I think
for
I would say,
me.
Oh, absolutely, dude. I think it's going to be very fun. I've been looking forward to doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I don't even know where we're going to go with it yet. So, you know, everyone bear with. I promise you the discussions we have are not going to be boring by any means. We also are not going to be slanderous or angry or just ridiculous things about that. We're just fans and we're just going to talk about our opinions as fans in these different topics. So again, we're going to do Star Wars for probably 3/4 of the show. For the last quarter of the show, we'd like to review Infinity War. We both went and saw it last week. We'd like to give you our reviews of the movie, maybe what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, maybe what Lucasfilm should adapt or what they shouldn't take on, and, you know, kind of the direction that franchise will go going forward, which we know there's another movie coming out that was filmed at the same time, mm-hmm. which is the second part of this Infinity War, untitled so far. And then after that, I'm not sure where they go, reboots or what, but we'll get into that a little bit As we get near the end of the show, we're going to do that last so that if any of you have not seen Infinity War yet, we don't want to spoil it for you. So, you know, we'll give you a warning before we're going to get to that topic so you can tune out if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, stick on and enjoy and see if you share our opinions of what they did there. So let's go ahead and jump right into Star Wars. So first off, state of Lucasfilm. So I think the central question that we need to think about before we get into anything else about what's going on, how the canon is now being decided, things like that. If you don't know, canon means officially accepted or endorsed history of a franchise. So Star Wars used to be, George Lucas would say, you know, there's these books that come out and these books on tape and these video games and everything. And Lucas always said, just view them all as a grain of salt because they're none of them are canon. If I decide to make a movie and I change something, it's what's in the movie. So that's what canon used to be. Disney bought Star Wars about, I don't know, was it 7 years ago or something?
I think 7 years ago, yes, sir.
And it was $4 billion, I think?
I think it was a little more than that.
And 4.2 or something?
Yeah, something like that. 4.3 maybe?
Yeah. And so they bought Star Wars, and they established a canon team. And I apologize. I don't actually know the name of the people on this canon, but there's basically they're basically like creative directors, I think, in terms of deciding what will be considered canon. And that's why they're now careful, or supposedly more careful, with books, video games, anything. Because anything that they endorse is now considered canon, unless they specifically say otherwise. So like the Lego Star Wars, they'll say before, you can like see a thing down in the corner or whatever, they'll warn you that it's not official, you know, Star Wars story material or canon material. But in general, like the first-person player through the video game Battlefront 2 is canon. All the movies, of course, are canon. Every new novel that comes out is canon. Everything in it is now canon, which means they're going to – I mean, at first it's not so hard, but as time goes on, that gets tricky because you're going to have to make sure that you don't ever violate previous canon because fans will jump on you. I think that Star Wars was actually the first ever true Lost-type film or Walking Dead-type show where – created a lot of people want to talk about things and discuss things, and especially after those first three movies, the you know 4, 5, and 6 that were made, there was a lot of talk about all those years in between the new movies and especially the novels. And I've read a fair amount of the novels. How many would you say you've read?
I would say I'm probably around 8 or 9.
Okay,
now.
Can you give just a quick synopsis of kind of which ones?
Sure. So I read the trilogy of the Jedi Academy, which I'm not quite finished with the third book.
Which was
halfway.
Was Kevin Anderson wrote those?
Champions of
Kip
the Force.
Kip Duron is the character?
He is one of the main characters, yes.
Okay.
And he was like in the slave mines on Kessel. And Han Solo and Chewbacca helped rescue him, and then he kind of went to Luke's camp for Jedi camp and just met up with
well, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure I knew which ones those ones were.
Yeah. So anyway, great trilogy. And then before that, I read. You're gonna have to help me out here.
Blue guy.
Yes.
Admiral Thrawn.
Thank you. The Thrawn trilogy, which was fantastic. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Any other favorites that you've read?
I mean, those two kind of stick out the most to me.
Okay.
Thrawn was kind of my favorite character, yeah. I think, out of all of them. You always thought he was going to snap, you know, and be this crazy, scary guy. And at some point it was going to happen, but he always kept his cool,
And he's just a calculating killer, just like Khan, right, in Star Trek. And I will say that real quick. I am not a you have to pick one or the other. While if I ever have kids, I will introduce them to both franchises equally, and then they can choose which one's their true favorite. But I like Star Trek, and I like Star Wars. I don't like the original show of Star Trek so much, but The Next Generation is how I got into Star Trek. I love that. I mean, great actors. The whole cast is great.
Some good movies, too.
And good movies. Oh, yeah. Some of the best. Yeah. Some of the best, really. And I don't like the new movies. And we'll get into that a little bit when we get into Force Awakens. I don't like what J.J. did with their lore. Same thing with what he did with Force Awakens.
A man destroys two legacies.
Not destroys. Not my preference. That's all I'll say. Just wasn't my preference. And I did enjoy these movies. We'll get into that. As far as myself for reading, so I agree with you, Thrawn Trilogy, unbelievable. I mean, I actually read those as they came out, and boy, was it a great way to satiate you until the prequels came out, give you some really amazing Star Wars material. Timothy Zahn wrote just an incredible story. The what's the name of the little animal species that protects Leia? The little like alien kind of looking thing, or not alien looking things, like wolf looking things, kind of. Nagori or something like that.
Yeah, I think that is it.
And the Yesal Armari force shield thing. I mean, that's just a lot of cool ideas. Yeah. Very cool story. Clones came back, and I just it was so clever. You know, a way to make it like the finding that fleet of Katana fleet. You know, with 300 ships. Oh, now things suddenly you've got an armada. Now you can actually cause something. I mean, smart ideas, of which I don't think any have been used in these new episodes. But again, we'll get to that. So. Thrawn trilogy. There's also a Thrawn duology, and I don't want to tell you the big secret about that one, because if you haven't read them, you know, they're really good. Those are written by Timothy Zahn as well. Now, he has written a new Thrawn book that's in the new canon, and this is actually officially in the canon, as well as Thrawn in the Rebels TV series is now canon. So it's a character we love that is now in the real shows, which is great. It's just too bad that his stories that were so amazing couldn't have been the ones that we got. Obviously, the actors were far too old to make those films. But, boy, that would have been a perfect script for a follow-up trilogy, you know, back in the day.
It's a lot of fun, man. There's the Star Wars universe is so large, you know, that you could just branch off and tell stories, you know, for each character and characters within the character.
Heck, they've done them for ships.
Yeah.
The Millennium Falcon and Death Star have their own books, you know, and they're great.
And for droids, you know.
I've also read the Jedi Academy trilogy you were talking about, the Han Solo Carillion trilogy, Truce at Bakura I liked a lot. I love Death Troopers, which was kind of a zombie take on Star Wars. There was also there were some later books that I read that the one with the Prince Zizor and he's trying to use pheromones to seduce Leia. That one was a pretty good
Darn,
story.
I missed that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
He's the prince of a criminal enterprise, and a battle between him and Vader for Emperor's, you know, favor or whatever. You know, and I liked Mara Jade and, you know, that kind of a whole idea. I did have a little bit of problem with Luke falling in love with knowing that that kind of was a big problem of what happened in the prequels. I know the prequels hadn't been released yet, but we all knew that that's kind of what happened.
Sure.
But you know what? Sometimes if they don't know these other movies are ever going to come out, might as well use an idea that hasn't been used. So anyway, just to kind of give everyone out there listening a background on, you know, we are serious fans in terms of that we do follow some of the supplemental material. I did watch Rebels. I don't think you've seen that, right? The cartoon?
I have not.
It's not really a cartoon. It's more of a like a Finding Nemo animation kind of thing, like that style of production. But very good. I mean, I really enjoyed them, except for the last episode where basically something happens, which is something I don't think they should introduce into Star Wars, but now it's been introduced, so it could be used. But I'm hopeful that they won't get silly and use things that will just kind of ruin the story. But other than that, it was a really interesting story that they had about this one kid, basically the start of the Resistance, or the Rebellion, excuse me. I would say that we're not 10-level fans. I would say... I think maybe you're a 7 or an 8. I would think myself is either 8 or a 9. I love the music. I love the books. I don't read the comics. I don't dress up as characters. I don't have, as you look around my house here, I mean, I've got a couple of little knickknacks for Star Wars, but that's about it. You know, like a pillow or a blanket, a trash can. I do have that one Sith holocron thing that they made. That was really cool. I got that for Christmas. That's about the extent of my Star Wars collection, right? I don't collect Star Wars. I don't understand collecting toys. Not ripping people who do. I just don't get it. That's just a waste of money and my time. And I don't think it looks good to display stuff that's in the box. So,
I, however, do have a collection of toys.
Do you?
I do. My mother actually has most of them. But
now, are we talking about the toys you bought and played with as a kid?
Yes.
So that's not what I'm really talking about, because I'd have that if my mom and dad didn't throw that stuff away.
Okay, gotcha.
So, but you don't have them. You don't use them. You don't display them.
No.
You know?
No.
And again, I'm not criticizing people who do. I'm just saying you're not a collector.
Gotcha.
This is stuff you actually played with.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a single Star Wars toy that has not been
opened. I was a collector at the time, I'll tell you.
Well, yeah, but I collected them and I ripped them out of the package to play with them. In fact, how stupid am I? We couldn't find Darth Vader when he first came out, right? And this is... like this is not the very, very first Kenner campaign thing, because I was actually just out of the womb. Mm-hmm. But basically, Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi, when I was old enough to start playing with the figures, you couldn't find a Darth Vader to save your life, right? Mm-hmm. Lived in kind of, this is, you know, back in those days, right? This is the 80s when, and you wanted a Storm Shadow for G.I. Joe, mm-hmm. well, you had to call JCPenney and put in a request to get a phone call the second they came in, and they never made enough. They could have, that toy company was stupid. They could have sold 8 billion mm-hmm. of Storm Shadow and the Ninja. But the same thing with, like, Vader. You just couldn't find him a lot of places.
No, nowhere.
So my great aunt finds him in a store in Marin County.
Oh, wow.
And they had been telling her, yeah, just look for this. Look for this toy. This is all he wants. Just look for this one toy. She found it, right? And she thought, she's like, oh, it's only like $4 or $2 or whatever. So she bought me 14 of them. Guess how many I opened that night? That when I got for Christmas.
14.
All 14. The 14 Vader battle. And I think back to it now, if I had saved like five of those, they sell like for $5,000 a pop. So I do kind of understand that part of it. But at this point, I think collectibles are only really worth it if it's not known to be a collectible until later.
Yeah.
It's when now that everything looks like a collectible, Disney's pumping out all this merchandise and people buying it. And now they're talking about how the toy sales have just plummeted because people are probably looking at them going, oh, this is really only for display now. I'm never going to make any money off of this. They're making too many of them, you know, because they're going to sell as many as they can. So, anyway, that's why I'm saying I think of myself as like an 8 or a 9. I think I might be a little bit more of a fan than you, but I don't think by much. But
I think you're more of a fan from the standpoint that you've probably delved in a little deeper. We'll put it that
that's
way.
That's what I, yeah.
Like, you have some more knowledge into some plot lines and things that I may not be appreciative.
What you're saying
to.
Is I've wasted too much time online.
Well, no, no. I think you just are more in tune with it, and I think that's what shows your fandom, right? You're trying to figure out more what's going on, so that's why your level's higher.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as just enjoying the movies, God, I mean, I just remember as a kid, I think I begged my dad to go see Return of the Jedi like every weekend for like 2 months straight.
Right.
Yeah, I just thought it was like the coolest
thing. And that was the first one that we were really of age enough to really see, 1983.
Yeah, yeah. Not because Return of the Jedi was the best of the movies.
No, but I was 6 then.
Right.
I could sit through a movie and understand it.
Right.
Whereas my grandpa recorded Star Wars, the original, which was just known as Star Wars, right? When you're for a long time, that's all you called it, just Star Wars.
Yeah.
It was Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. There was nothing else to say. And then it became A New Hope, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know he did that before Empire came out, but when there were still only 2 movies, you didn't need 2 titles. You just said, oh, Star Wars, yeah, that first one. Mm-hmm. And Empire, oh, yeah, the one where we find out, well, okay, spoiler alert, but if you're listening to this show, I would think you would know this, that Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. He was Anakin Skywalker. I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you already knew that. If not, sorry to blow the biggest plot hole, which is, or biggest plot point of the whole thing. And why I don't understand when people say you should watch the episodes in a different order. It's like, no, it's always 4, 5, 6, then whatever you want. But it has to be 4, 5, 6. Otherwise, you destroy all the what made it what it is, you know? Like when people start now, like, oh, I've only seen The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. Oh, really? Boy, that must be – okay, you're looking at it from a completely different angle. No wonder you like the new ones.
Well, my wife – so she has seen The Phantom Menace was the very first one she saw.
She saw with us and when it came out in 3D.
Yeah, but then I had her watch the trilogy with me over Christmas this past year.
Oh, just
this
past year.
The original trilogy, yeah.
Excellent.
Just this past year. So that was really fun. I haven't watched the original 3 in order like that in a long time. And just to have that perspective to kind of see it all lay out in front of you was so cool. And how genius Lucas was. But my wife enjoyed it. She's not even a Star Wars person, but she, you know, fell in love with Han Solo. And,
all the girls did.
Yeah. So amazing.
And you know what? It's when you do watch the original films, whether they're despecialized or the specialized versions or the ones with a whole bunch of added stuff or just a little bit of added stuff or whatever it is, those first 3 movies, especially that first one, though, it was – people forget sometimes, you know, like you think about the Central Galactic War going on and that's the main story, you know, that and the father-son dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But that first movie had all those little side things that had nothing to do with the plot, and that's what made it so awesome. There was every 5 seconds it was something cool and new to think about or see or ponder, and then you'd go back to the main story, you know, like the whole Jawa part, mm-hmm. right? That had nothing to do with anything, but it was just super cool. Just, you know, not just the when they meet up with them to buy things or when they got slaughtered, but when the, you know, just when the Sandcrawler's just rolling around and when they're just what it's like inside the lower basement parts with the droids. And
oh, I was gonna say it doesn't have no meaning because it did introduce the droids to Luke. So.
Sure, I mean they were a MacGuffin, but they had a cool story MacGuffin. They weren't just paper characters, you know.
Right.
Or going to the cantina. Well, that was to meet Han Solo, but there was a whole side story. You know, obviously some people don't like the Jedi. Obviously, though, when a Jedi whips out his lightsaber, they're very feared. You know, like that built that whole mystique. You're like, oh wow, so this guy's a badass. Like you didn't know that about Obi-Wan until then. But when he chops off that guy's arm, and you're like, oh, this guy's like, look at everybody. They're just like. Ooh. So apparently that's a big deal.
I'm not going over there.
Yeah, I'm not messing with that guy. Holy cow. So that, you know, those are the things that I agree with you. Lucas is a genius, not just a marketing genius, an advertising genius, a movie making genius, a special effects genius, and a full on awesome person. I mean, he spends his money in the most wonderful of ways. Like, I mean, my favorite part is when he had some uptight neighbors who were rich like him and didn't like the idea of, like, homeless people around them or whatever. So he built a homeless shelter, like, right outside of their neighborhood, just to be like, you know what? How about solving the problem or doing something about the problem instead of bitching about it, you know? Which is, that's Lucas, right? He never said bitch about it. He just did it. And that's what makes him such an impressive person and why he's much more than just his movies. And let's not forget, he also wrote all of the Raiders of the Lost Ark. So, you know, more of just a limbo.
And American semi-genius. Graffiti.
Right. That was his first hit. Absolutely. Good call. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I mean, he also, he's made some other movies like Willow. Yep. You know, I mean, sometimes he's the executive producer, but
Willow.
He writes them. You know, that's when that fan favorite Warwick or whatever his name was. So anyway, let's go in and get into the meats of it.
Yeah.
What I was talking about before that I think is important, and I wanted to let people know like kind of where we were as fans. And I think that you can see that we're definitely dedicated fans, but we're not obsessive crazy people. not that I think that's a bad thing either. If what you love, it's what you love. But coming to a central question, especially when you look at what's going on with Marvel, is Lucasfilm in charge of Star Wars or is Disney in charge? Or both, I guess.
Well, I think Disney's in charge of the money, and I think Lucas is in charge of the creativity. You know, so those don't always go hand in hand, obviously.
Right.
And so there's going to be a clash there. I don't know.
Because I'll be honest, when it first started, I thought Disney was had their hands all over it, and that's why the stories were kind of done the way they were, the way that they rehashed in the first one, and the way they kind of have been very centric on certain themes, like. And we'll get into this, and I'm not hating on these things. Please, I'm just pointing them out. Things like feminism, more feminist characters, or not more feminist characters, more female characters, actors, producers in the whole process and everything, as well as more minority representation, not just the white guy, which is 98%
you're talking about
of the
currently,
movies.
Right?
Correct. The new
okay,
movies.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I think they're trying to stay with the trends. You know, in Hollywood right now, the feminine trend,
right?
You know,
the Me Too movement,
the strong female lead,
sure.
You know, is
which has become
sells.
Popular.
Yeah.
First of all, because you know, and people sometimes forget what drives everything, which is always money. And if you look at the female lead characters, Harry Potter had a strong female lead, right? I mean, Harry Potter was obviously a man, but Hermione was a huge character. Plus, had a lot of strong female characters. Period. And the main. Theorem, if you've ever actually read all the books or saw all the movies, Snape's devotion to Harry was because of his mother, even though it didn't look like devotion to us.
Right.
So, you know, female characters were strong in that, but then you move on to things like The Hunger Games, which those books, Katniss Everdeen is a very strong character, very strong female lead. I didn't watch them, but those Divergent series, you know, these books kind of came. These are teen books that came after
those.
I was a teen,
yeah.
So I haven't read the books. But that's another strong female character. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it obviously it's been successful. It's brought women
into
a market that weren't there before.
Yeah, that's all I was saying is I think they're just kind of trying to stay with the trends, with the current, and it can be forced, right? It can be contrived.
Absolutely.
You know, they're for you and I talked about it just earlier about. A part maybe even was written for a male, and they try to put a female in there,
you know,
and it just doesn't make sense as the storyline develops. So,
no, and it really is true. There's
lazy writing.
You know, we'll kind of get into that here in a minute as we get a little bit closer into that. I will say that I now am starting to believe that Lucasfilm actually is in charge, and I actually fought with people online a little bit pushing back, saying, "No way Disney spends $4.2 billion on a franchise and then just says, all right, good luck." You know?
Yeah. I mean, from the standpoint of, yes, they're the ones that control the content, right? So, you know, if it's not successful, then no one's going to make any money off it. So
right.
They need to be able to have that creative freedom to do it what they think is going to lead to success.
And we know they're making a new Star Wars park, mm-hmm. a Star Wars land, I think. Mm-hmm. So they need to have a product that is
of course they
selling
do.
Well, yes. Is it really, really recognizable, and mm-hmm. to both little boys and little girls.
Yeah.
So I understand all of that. The reason I do think Lucasfilm might have more control than I thought before is Kathleen Kennedy kind of seems like she's gone overboard on this subject. And so let me just state for the record, and if any of you know me personally, then there's no surprise here. I'm fairly liberal. I'm more classical liberal than I am modern liberal. I'm not a progressive at all. I'm an actual liberal, like think Teddy Roosevelt, basically, is kind of my political stance. But I'm all in favor of equality for everyone. I think everyone should have the same starting position. Should always be the same. Same opportunity does not mean the same outcome. I don't think you deserve to have the same outcome. If you're lazy and you don't do your job or you're not as successful or whatever, fine. You don't get to have that. But you should have equal representation is fine. I don't have any problem with that. And I champion that, like Supreme Court, things like that, Senate, everything. I think we should have many more women, many sure. more minorities, because that would be more representative of what we are mm-hmm. and who we are, and everyone should have a voice. But what we're talking about forcing in female characters, and that's what seems to have been happening with Star Wars. And so we're going to dig into this, and I know this is kind of a touchy subject out there. So again, that's why I want to reiterate, and I know that Nate's very supportive of women, especially with a lot of things that his wife is involved in. So we're not anti-feminist at all. But I think you do a disservice to feminism when you shoehorn in a female character without a good character or without a good story. And when I was talking to you earlier about feeling like they've written these parts for men, like they wrote a Star Wars show, right? And we're like, okay, here's the basic plot we're putting out here. Oh, but we need a stronger female, so they'll put her here instead of this guy. And it doesn't work because you were written it like a guy because you were trying to write it the way that the old Star Wars were done a little bit and what you think grabbed boys' attention, right?
Right.
Because you automatically are just going to think that way when you think Star yeah. Wars. Women, there were plenty of little girls who liked Star Wars, but it was definitely, there was, find a male that was born between 75 and 85 who didn't like Star Wars. Boy, it's not going to find many.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, man, it's cool. I just can't, I'm excited to talk about our, like, the next movie and kind of what that's going to bring, too. I know we'll get into that eventually, but after seeing, and I'm talking about Solo, not Episode 9.
The one coming out in 2 weeks,
yes,
for everyone.
The one in 2 weeks. I mean, do you want, have we said much about Rogue One? Because I kind of have some thoughts, differing thoughts with Rogue One and
So you do we want to do that one first because that's outside of the episodes, and then we can jump to the episodes?
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Sure. So yeah. Rogue One, give people a synopsis real quick if they haven't seen it.
Sure. Okay, so Rogue One is kind of – it's based on – you're going to have to tell me the character's name. The
So Jyn Erso is the main character, female, and her
you.
Father is Galen, I think, Erso.
Galen Erso, and he was the designer of the original Death Star.
Yes, or at least the weaponry,
yes,
one of the two.
Right. And so the Empire, he had done some work for them previously. They had come to find him to finish up the final kind of components. And ended up, he refused to go. His daughter gets away. She kind of becomes the focus of the story, trying to get revenge, find her father.
Right, who she hasn't seen since then.
Correct. So.
Yeah, and then as Forrest Whitaker in it is a character that's from the Clone Wars, a cartoon show.
He's kind of her father after
yeah, more than anything
Galen
else, or at least protege, I guess,
yeah.
or mentor, not protege.
Yeah.
Basically, it's about if you've seen the first Star Wars film ever, the Star Wars: A New Hope, where they blow up the Death Star. They have those plans in the R2 unit that tell them how to blow up the Death Star. This movie is how they get those plans.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yep.
And so. why don't you tell me two things? Your letter grade for the film itself, just what you just graded, like going to see it as a movie one time or just as a movie itself. Number two, its rewatchability. Because I think for Star Wars, that's a big component, is how much you want to rewatch those films.
Okay, those are good questions. So for rewatchability for me, it's definitely among the Star Wars movies outside the original trilogy. It is my favorite. So I'm willing to go back to the hard drive and throw it on and watch it with the wife. Or you know, if we're a couple nerds hanging out on a rainy Sunday afternoon, throw it in while you're playing a game or something.
Sure.
You know, I enjoyed it a lot. I would say it's a B for me for rewatchability. And then, I'm sorry, the other was just the what?
Well, I just wanted to grade what you grade the movie and then how rewatchable it was.
And then on the movie, I would give it a B+. I mean, I just think it's a cool idea, first of all. The plot line was really well done. The acting was pretty good. I liked the character development, and I was really pleased with the outcome. So, I thought it was, again, I enjoy watching it. I would watch it again. So,
I felt the same way. Like, yeah, it was one of the ones where I came out of the theater and I was like, I feel pretty fucking satisfied. I mean, mm-hmm, I wasn't everything I wanted out of it, but I felt good. I was like, okay, that was entertaining.
And
I enjoyed it.
Let me throw this in quick for me, because I had just seen The Force Awakens recently for the first time before I saw that. So coming off of that movie, going into this one, you know, I had some concerns and, it alleviated some for me for a little while, let's say, you know, and I was like, okay, you know, this was kind of a risky thing to do, to take a side story like this and, you know, take a whole movie based on, you know, a little piece of Star Wars history. And it turned out to a pretty dang good story.
I actually think this is a great idea. That's how a lot of them should be. Take little ideas and explore what happened in those little ideas.
That's the beauty of the Star Wars universe.
Right. You're not going to damage the originals. You're not going to anger any longtime fans. And I think that's why Rogue One was so well received by original fans. The fans that were – and when I say original fans, I mean that you had no choice but to see the originals first because there wasn't anything else. That, to me, is a big dividing point. If you were born – and saw Star Wars before the prequels or anything else came out, you only had Star Wars. And so you base everything on that foundation. That's your constitution. People who were born later, some of them, they actually saw the first three episodes, 1, 2, 3, before they saw the originals, because those are what came out in the theaters when they were kids, and they were more interested in those because they looked better, right? Even though Lucasfilm has done a lot of work to update their original films and make them look spectacular, the original three that we're talking about from the original trilogy, they didn't look like that when they were made. I mean, if you ever go back and see, like, the unfixed versions, they have some dated graphics. You know, they're much better than anything at the time, and they've been some of the most timeless graphics or practical effects that have ever been done. Mm-hmm. When you have no computer involved, no digital material of any kind, they were amazing, and they did last, and they held up a long time.
Yes.
And then now they've been replaced, you know, like they took away the boxes and things on the TIE fighters, they took away strings, you know, made everything look a little bit sharper, and they look great. I mean, they're gorgeous. They don't even have that hazy 70s look. They look like they were made last week.
And the sound was what was so awesome, too. Mm-hmm. The sound, you know, the sound of those TIE fighters or that lightsaber lighting up, the crackle and sizzle, and R2-D2 and Chewbacca's growl, and yeah, the sound was like revolutionary, I thought.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ben Burtt, genius. I mean, there's a lot of geniuses involved in Star Wars. I mean, it wasn't just Lucas. I think he was a little bit like Jobs in that he was able to push people to where they maybe hadn't been before. Mm-hmm. But Ben Burtt is obviously amazingly talented. John Williams, the composer, amazingly talented. They casted it just right. I mean, the cast was chosen perfectly. And we will get into sounds, because that's actually, to me, I think it's a great thing to bring up, because that is very important in Star Wars. Going back to Rogue One, so my grade for the movie is probably, I would say it's a B- overall, because as a standalone movie, I'm not sure it really is that compelling. Jyn Erso, I love the actress, and I think her character was good, but I don't think they did a good enough job of making her and her crew become friends, because that's when those characters die that you feel really bad. And, you know, while I didn't like seeing the two guys from the Church of the Force die, I didn't, it wasn't like, oh, you know, it was just like, oh, there goes a character I liked. But it's not like in Star Wars, at the end of that movie, you were in love with the three characters, right? So it didn't quite have that chemistry to it. But as a fan of the original movies, I give it a replayability of almost, I got to give it an A-. The space scene, when they have a cut of that on like YouTube where they just cut out everything but the space fighting, man, I've watched that a lot just because it's so well done. And it's so weird to me that a lot of the people that are big-time defenders of the new episodes didn't like Rogue One. And those of us who don't like the new episodes very much really like Rogue One. And the complaint I hear from the people who love the new films, the new episode films, is that they felt it was just nothing but a bunch of dopey fan service. And I thought, well, how do you not have a lot of fan service in a movie that was written about one of the major plot points of the first movie? I mean, how do you not have TIE fighters?
Well, I was going to say, what fans?
What do you mean?
Well, how do they know what fans like?
Well, they were saying fan service for the original trilogy fans.
Okay, got it.
Like they were saying, like, oh, we're this paying, is just, like going nostalgia crazy.
Got it.
And I disagree with that completely because I thought it was perfectly done.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't see anything. You saw R2 and D2, R2-D2 and C-3PO for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Mon Mothma for a couple of scenes and actually gave her character more depth.
Yep.
Because she wasn't in that first film. You had a little bit of Tarkin, you know, which they did a fantastic job. I mean, it didn't quite
the
look
CGI,
real, but
yeah.
Boy, that was close. I mean, that was pretty impressive, and it really did. I loved that his character in there. The new character Rennick was really good. The new director, that new guy, the guy who was like a commander. Plus, it made for a really cool talking point, right? Something that Lucas obviously, I don't know that he had. With Lucas, you never know. Maybe he did think about it, but Lucas a lot of times is just clever at when he makes scenes, he always just leaves, he just films things in a way that leave things open that you can expand on, even if it's not intentional for a specific story. But there is a rumor that when you watch that scene where in the original Star Wars, where Governor Tarkin comes in and addresses the council, right? Mm-hmm. And he tells them that that the Emperor has disbanded the Senate and there's an empty seat. And the rumor is that that was Krennic's seat.
Oh.
And when he died in Rogue One, that's why he wasn't there. And also why the one general said to the other, we need to use this space station. And he said, well, there can be a threat to us. And he said, a threat to your fleet, not to this Death Star, because the fleet that they had at that planet, which I can't believe I forget the name of the planet, but the one where they had all the Imperial records on, the one that they, you know, at the very end.
Coruscant?
No, the one that's at the one with the big satellite dish. I can't remember what that planet's called.
I can't either.
There were so many planets in that movie. Like I said, see, we're fans, but we're not obsessive fans.
Right.
But I, it was interesting to think that maybe, you know, the fleet there got manhandled by the rebellion, and the fact that that big time ship was the one where Leia escaped from did get destroyed by Vader. That might have been their big flagship, and that's why in A New Hope it was all starfighters, because they didn't have their fleet anymore. A lot of it had gotten decimated
right in
that fight. So, you know, when they wrote that film and made that film, they obviously took their time, and someone whoever wrote that, Gareth Edwards or whoever wrote the actual plot, like the outline, obviously a big Star Wars fan who was like, well, how can I make this work with what was already made and make it fit in like a puzzle? And they did such a good job. And that's why I'm hoping for Solo. Because I think they have a puzzle that's already made, and they got to fit the puzzle in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they can be good at. We think we've seen with the new films, they're not good at creating their own puzzles, because the puzzles are just a haphazard, chaotic mess that make no sense. Now, what else did you want to review about with Rogue One?
I think that kind of sums up mostly. I think the main focus today is going to be talking about the next movie that we have on tap. So,
okay, sure. So we move on to The Force Awakens, which was actually made before Rogue One. This was the first new film from Disney, done by J.J. Abrams, who we all know from Lost fame and of other things now, but that was his big, you know, that and Alias, or I guess were his big coming out parties. And for those of us who were big fans of Lost, and I was a big fan, well, we were both big fans at the time, and actually you were probably a bigger fan than I was. And
I love that show.
it was amazing that they made such a creative, such an interesting, such a mysterious show, and then you found out they had absolutely no idea for anything. Like, there was no answers to anything. And I love when people try and tell me that they did answer things. It's like telling me that the island is a bottle that's holding the evil in isn't explaining anything.
Yeah.
That doesn't explain why it's invisible. That doesn't explain who these weird people are. That doesn't explain what this yellow light is that turns a person into a black thing, a black smoke thing that can impersonate people but sounds like a machine.
Right.
I mean, it's just like those were also such cool questions asked that they had no answers for. And Force Awakens was written by first Michael Arndt, who was the guy who was a major writer for Lost. Then it was taken over by J.J. and the guy who actually wrote, helped Lucas with Empire Strikes Back, and maybe the original too, Kasdan, who actually, he and his son wrote Solo, the movie that comes out in 2 weeks.
Mm.
So that's why there's some hope that that movie will be good.
Who was the other writer from Lost that was in on that too? There was another.
David
Lindelof. It's the other one.
Michael Arndt and J.J. Abrams were the only other two I knew.
Mm. Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, it's that was a lot of unsatisfied fans at the end of that.
A lot of buildup for no payoff.
Yeah, they took the creative route, I guess.
Well, but it's great to be creative, but have some idea. You know, as a person that writes, and I do a lot of writing, you can't write start to finish unless you already know the end. You need to know the end and write backwards a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then you write forward, and then you say, okay, now what can I go backwards and fix that makes it sound better at the end, gets you more of a payoff? They don't do that. They didn't even care about having an answer, which really frustrated me because of how much I enjoyed the first, like, five seasons were just great. And then season six, you were like, wow, they're posing new questions, and they still haven't answered the old ones? And then you get halfway through season seven, and you're like, haven't answered anything. We're not going to get any answers, are we?
Yeah, it was about posing questions. Mm-hmm. That's how they kept you interested.
Yep, and that's how they kept the talk going. Mm-hmm. And then you think about all those fan theories that came out that were better. I mean, they had so many fan theories that were just amazing. You're like, why don't you just piggyback on that and say, they got it, they nailed it. I mean, this one guy had like a 9-page thesis about time travel and all this stuff from his work at the Swedish Astrophysics Lab. That sounded awesome, and it fit.
Mm-hmm.
It fit perfectly, everything that had happened. You're like, why?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, just contact him and say, we like your idea better than ours. We'd like to pay you $5 million, and we'd like to use your idea. And we're going to just say that you figured it out. Great. Awesome. No problem with that. Even as a fan, you could tell me that you went with a fan theory at the end. I'd still be okay with it if it was great. Right? That's all we want. We just want a great story.
Who was your favorite character?
Ooh. Boy. Wow. I think almost, is his name Jin? The husband of the...
Jin.
Yeah, what was it? Was his wife's name? I forget. The pretty Korean gal.
Yeah.
I think his name was Jin. I think he was my favorite.
Son,
that's it.
Yeah.
I think I liked not only how I loved his backstory, but how he went forward. Like, how he changed as the story went along.
Okay.
How about you?
You know, I liked... and now I'm drawing a blank. The bald lock.
Oh, Locke was great, yeah.
The guy that was in the wheelchair and then came out of the wheelchair.
Yeah, he was great.
I think he was probably my favorite, although I did like Kate as well.
I thought Kate was pretty, but her story was was okay. I mean, I did kind of like
really?
Her backstory.
Oh, really? I thought she was mysterious. Kind of a badass renegade.
Yeah,
you know.
I think I don't think she's that good of an actress. I think it's what lost me a little bit. But anyway.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that.
Going back to Force Awakens, what this kind of was trying to point out is that you can make a really good story, but if you don't have an ending, you're not going to get the payoff. And that may work in a TV show. But when you're talking about movies, it's not such a good idea to do it that way because, first of all, I will say that these two new episodes feel like episodes. They don't feel like movies to me. It feels like they're written with the intent of, no, this is part one of three. And Star Wars that Lucas made was never part one of three or part one of three in the prequel trilogy. It was, here's a standalone film with an overall arc that begins here and ends in the third film.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big difference, I feel, that they, one thing that they really missed. And I think we have to address, so what's the biggest issue with a term that I'd never heard before, which is a Mary Sue. I don't know. I didn't know what the hell that was until I started reading on the internet, and I'm like, a Mary Sue? What does that mean? And apparently what it means
sissy.
Is, no, No, it means a female character is made uber powerful and all knowing, kind of, to promote the idea of women. And I defended Star Wars a lot in that first film because I didn't think it was nearly that heavy-handed. I didn't think it was like throw it in my face kind of thing. But I did start to get discouraged with, I thought, you know, when you get the Force, and even if you're just a natural, right, and you don't even know you have it, your instincts will be fantastic. So if you're going to fly really well, I get it. You just, you know, you've had it since you were a kid, so you don't realize that not everybody has forethought,
right? Yeah, Anakin could do it at what?
Sure.
However old
he
was.
Yeah, he flew a pod car at a pod racer at 10, right?
Yep.
So that's fine. Sword fighting. Well, she obviously was a skilled fighter anyway because she had to defend herself, but now she's got a really powerful weapon and she's going to instinctually use it better because she has the Force. Okay, no problem with that. I don't have any problem with any of that stuff. Holding her own with Kylo Ren, you know what? I don't think that was a big deal either because when Kylo was fighting against Finn, he obviously wasn't fighting hard. He was doing what Vader did to Luke in Empire, which was he just screwing with him. And was like, and then the second he landed a blow on him, exactly in mirror how when Luke landed a blow on Vader's shoulder, Vader got mad and he chopped off his hand. Well, what did Kylo do? He sliced Finn right up the back, up the vertebrae, right? So obviously showed that he was just toying with him the whole time. But she held her own because he wanted to turn her, because that's where you start to get that rehash thing that was a problem with this movie, which was, wait a minute, why does Kylo want her help? Why has he decided that she's the one to use? Why is he so sure that she's this perfect one, right? And that's where there's this mystery stuff they build up, but you should at least allude to where that mystery comes from, and then we should have a payoff coming for that. And if that payoff is pushed off to one movie, that's fine. But instead, Force the Last Jedi, to me, the biggest crime it committed was that it just said, you know what, all those plot points? What about Snoke, this incredible, powerful leader? We know nothing about him, where he came from, how he brought the Empire back from the brink or made the First Order, and why he's so powerful, and how he knows Luke, and what he's done with the Knights of Ren, and what he's done with Kylo. Nothing.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry.
There was a lot of questions. So how did, you know, maybe I missed this and it's in the new canon, but like, how did the Empire become the First Order? And how did the Rebellion become the Resistance? And what is the difference? Like,
excellent questions.
Yeah.
Why would you not even allude to these things at all?
Right.
And
it's not clear.
It's also really funny is that you see the defenders of the new episodes and they just get, oh man, they get their panties in a bunch telling you about, well, you didn't know this about this in the original, and you didn't know about this and this, and you didn't know about this and this. And you're like, well, let's stop and think for 1 second how you can actually do it without having to devote a whole movie to it. In fact, George Lucas, with one sentence, told you everything you need to know about the politics of the galaxy. One sentence. That's smart writing. And it wasn't even a complicated sentence. Mm. What did he do? Tarkin walks into the room of the governors, and they're talking about something. They say, well, the Imperial Senate, okay, there's a Senate. There's a governmental Senate in this empire, right? Imperial, for those who don't know, Imperial is an empire. Mm-hmm. That's imperialism is you have an empire, just in case people don't know that word. And that was the other thing I think that people sometimes miss in Star Wars is that Lucas is very smart, and he uses terms that people just throw away as dialogue and don't think, oh, that he chose that
but
word.
Yeah, it's like a nice word for a nicer way of saying something poorly, basically.
Yeah. And he identified something that you might, you know, you say like, well, they have, you know, the Senate did this. Oh, the Imperial Senate. Okay, it's the Empire Senate. Mm-hmm. So it's a Senate that probably has curbed power, right? But then Tarkin walks in. The Emperor has told me we no longer have to be concerned about, I'm not saying that, I don't really think I'm saying it correctly, but something about the Emperor has just informed me that we no longer need to be concerned about the Imperial Senate. He has just disbanded it, and regional governors will now have control over their regional territories. Then one of the henchmen guy, or one of the you know, roundtable guys says, how will we maintain control without bureaucracy, without that Senate, without our thick, big government holding everybody in line? They'll have direct control over their territories. Fear will keep people in line. Mm-hmm. So the first sentence told you what the how things were. The second and third sentence just kind of tidied up exactly how the power structure is. That's it. That's all they talked about in politics in the entire movie, except when he called Leia a spy when she says she was a senator in the very opening scene, right?
Right.
So
right.
four or five sentences, five, six sentences maybe?
That's a good point.
And you did everything you needed to know. Mm-hmm. How easy would that have been in any of these movies to say, well, you know, if it wasn't for Snoke coming in and pulling the generals together when they were fighting each other, we never would have, the First Order never would have survived.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously it's money, right? They're just trying to draw it out as long as they can.
Yeah, but you don't have to tell the whole story. Just give the snippet. Just give the structure. Like you said about the resistance and the rebellion. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I have two problems with this. Number one, they chose the word resistance. And this happens, you know, kind of the same time that the resistance is the progressive fight back against conservatives. Mm-hmm. I just feel like they chose that term on purpose. Why would you ever call yourself the resistance if you were an army unit? You're the rebels.
Yeah, because it's not. Yeah, or
but because they didn't have rebels, right? They have a new government, so it can't be the rebels. Oh, this is how we make them rebels again. We say they're not really part of the new republic, which of course we see one scene with for about 5 seconds before five planets get blown up, which apparently all the planets can see each other in the solar system, which I don't know if we could see the explosion of other planets in our solar system. Maybe Mars, maybe Mercury, but boy, it would probably only be the ones that were within a certain distance in our rotations or revolutions.
Yeah, that's a good question. Boy, I don't know. Jupiter and Saturn are pretty big planets.
Yeah, but they're gas.
Yeah, well...
Well, I'm saying that, but that would be a that kind of an explosion wouldn't necessarily be nuclear, right? And so, I mean, who knows? I don't know what happened when he blew up you know, a planet. But I just, that's the other thing is, I don't like the way that some of the planets looked like they explode as opposed to being shattered. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they did okay. The graphics were okay, but just, again, that's just another thing where you just, it doesn't pass the eye test. And why not think about these things before you make your movie? And I feel like they never sat down and said, here's our plot arc for the new films. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, who are the 5 or 6 main characters or 10 main characters we're going to have? Okay, where do they end up? Okay, now, how do we slowly backwards them into that landing spot, right? It feels like it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, I agree.
So it feels like JJ wrote a movie.
Yeah, it's like feels like Lost.
Yeah, and then Ryan Johnson, whatever his name is, said, "Okay, here's my movie." And you're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Did you even see the last movie?
Yeah, did you watch the last movie?
You threw away all the plot points, like the Rey's parents thing. Okay, fine, it wasn't a big reveal. But if her parents weren't important, why the hell was that such a big point of her story?
Right. And Snoke, I mean, that was a huge opportunity, I felt like, to develop a plot line there. Where did this mysterious character come from? You know, how did he gain control? And I really would have liked to have gotten more into kind of his story.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they just kill him off, no answers.
Yeah, I feel like there's all this
spoiler
build-up.
Alert. Sorry, a little late there.
Well, this is all spoilers. Yeah. But yeah, so it just seems a little odd that You create all these stories, and then you don't even try to deal with them.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to make the story that Rey was a nobody, but she could still be super powerful, okay, that's your story. That's fine. Go with that story. But then you need to make that a story that makes sense. You know,
right.
Like, I think he was trying to do that with that mirror scene that she was in, and then when she goes up thinking she's going to see her parents and she sees herself, I think he was trying to say, in a way, oh, she discovered that she had to depend on her and not her family or something. But it wasn't impactful.
I thought maybe she was a clone.
Oh, well, that's a cooler idea. I can't imagine they thought something that interesting. A clone of what?
Herself. Well, she was a clone. There was a clone before her.
So you think they were saying that she was discovering that she had a lot of different a lot of copies of her out there?
Maybe.
I like that idea. You know what? If that becomes the idea, I might actually have a little bit of forgiveness for The Last Jedi, because that's interesting.
I mean, that's just a personal theory. So.
No, but I will tell you but it's disturbing about that. And I know we're kind of jumping right into The Last Jedi now, but it's going to kind of happen because they're connected so much.
Yeah.
So the Battlestar Galactica connection.
Yeah.
And to me, this is a problem.
With the plot line, is that what you're talking about? And
so
the,
running out of fuel. Fuel has never been... ever a story in Star Wars, right?
Right.
Ever. There was the hyperdrive broke down on the Amidala, is it Amidala, Princess Amidala's ship? Or
yes.
Queen Amidala? Natalie Portman, her ship.
Yes.
You know, that was a damaged component. There was never talk about fuel. And I never got the impression from the way they shoot their laser guns, right, to lightsabers, to their wars. There's a limit on things. I mean, I never even thought of missiles in Star Wars until Lucas actually put them in Episode 3.
That's a funny way to look at it.
And then concussion
there's
weapons.
There's a limit on things?
Yeah. You know, it never felt like it in the shows.
Sure.
And, I mean, you could also say, well, they just never had a point where that became an issue.
Sure.
Fine. I'm not going to make a big deal about that alone, but that is such a stolen plot point, right? I mean,
it is.
You're basically saying, okay, we're out of fuel. We can't hyper jump anymore, or light speed jump anymore. And now the bad guys have caught up to us, and we're just trying to run away.
Yeah, and it came from a sci-fi type place that was successful. So
right, like ripping them off.
Yeah.
And the clone thing, I mean, that was a huge deal. That was like the big difference between Battlestar Galactica, that TV series on sci-fi with Edward James Olmos, and why it was so good was a huge change or a huge thing that you don't expect it. These four crew members, these high-ranking crew members who hate the Cylons, are robots. Mm-hmm. They don't even know it. They're clones. They're cloned robot or robot clones, I guess. So that was really cool. If we find out that they stole both the cloning and the running out of fuel idea, because to me that plot point in Star Wars was ridiculous. You have your whole fleet. You have the entire enemy group, which is now consists of like five ships, mm-hmm. and you then blow up the hangar so they have no starfighters, right? But you can't catch up to them. You can't hyperspace in front of them and then come backwards. And you don't send out every fighter you have to just pummel them until they crumble or their engines fail, and then you can just blow them up. Like, what a weak plot point and how mm-hmm. boring that was.
Sure.
And then they all, you know, the going to Canto Blight, which you never really understood what the whole point of that was. They didn't have fuel to make any more jumps. I guess they didn't have the fuel to make one more jump. Mm-hmm. But you did all this thing to find this hacker who you found, but then you never contacted him. Somehow you run into this other hacker who's, I guess, just as good, but then sells you out after having a chance to steal Empire technology. I guess you could say that I guess him siding with the First Order isn't that big of a deal, but just so weak. Mm-hmm. And
I agree.
So we go back to the feminism thing, or the introducing female characters. So they introduce Rose, who's the one that goes off with Finn. Mm-hmm. Her character makes almost no sense because she's so erratic. She starts out as a gushing lover of her hero, Finn, to, I guess, being angry, that thinking he's going to run away, which I don't know why he couldn't just say, I'm going to get Rey.
You could also say she was a hero trying to stop somebody from...
Right, or she's trying to stop somebody from running away with something.
Right.
Sure, that's fine.
Yeah.
Stowaway or whatever. But then her character has no real development other than going to this planet and basically doing a anti-rich rant. And again, I'm pretty liberal, but you don't need to do it preachy. That's the problem, is they try and make things so obvious and heavy-handed and you know, beat you down over the head with things, instead of if you just wrote her as an awesome character with an awesome story arc, no one would care. Mm-hmm. They'd just be cool about the character. Did anyone ever get mad about Mon Mothma or Leia in the original trilogy?
No.
Loved them.
Yeah.
People loved Mon Mothma, and she barely did anything. She just had one time she talked. Yet you have that new Holdo, Laura Dern, who I like as an actress. Liked her in Jurassic Park. Have liked her in a lot of films. Mm-hmm. Think she's a good actress. And her character and her portrayal was horrible. The weakest leader I've ever seen. I mean, she basically sat there when Leia got hurt, and then she gave that speech to the crew, and it wasn't an inspirational speech.
No.
It wasn't a get everyone together and reinvested speech. It was basically a anti-Donald Trump speech, for lack of a better term. And don't get me wrong, I can't stand Donald Trump, but it doesn't make any sense to do that in the movie because they didn't elect someone. Snoke isn't someone they elected. He's an evil tyrant. You would need to refer to him more as a Hitler or a Stalin or in that way, which is why Lucas used Germany and Rome in his trilogies, because those were madmen,
right.
Caesar and Hitler.
Well, and there was, you know, a couple other things too. Obviously, the Force can do things that we didn't think it could do now.
You right.
know? So there's that component, and I think some people are, you know, upset about that. For example,
I was gonna say, is there one that bothered you?
I mean, I think the thing that stands out the most is Leia.
Uh-huh.
At the very, at the beginning with...
where she flies through space.
Yes, where she flies through space, you know, doesn't take a breath, because there's quite a bit of time there.
Right.
You know, doesn't take a breath in the void, you know.
Right.
And
she was knocked out.
Instantly pass away. Yeah, she was knocked out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it just, you know, just seemed highly unlikely. She really hadn't, that we knew of, done a lot of training or anything like that. All of a sudden, she's able to harness these Force.
Well, they didn't bother to show her using any Force power or knowledge, except for, I guess, maybe feeling Han Solo die. But in Force Awakens, she shows nothing.
Yeah.
And you should, I mean, something so simple, like you could have held her, like held out her hand.
Did Luke maybe, was he involved maybe?
What do you mean?
Did he help guide her back in there?
Who knows? I don't know. But they certainly didn't show that in any way in the film.
No, they didn't.
And I still, you know, first of all, I thought that was a dumb idea because of what you're talking about in terms of you're knocked out and you're in space. You apparently didn't freeze or die. And then you woke up, realized where you were, and then used the Force to pull yourself back into that thing. You know, it's not the flying through space so much. I could have gotten over that. If you wanted to sell that scene, then you have that explosion thing happen, and you follow Leia blown out of there, you know, like even maybe show it from like over her shoulder or whatever, like her flying into space, and then her like closing her eyes and like maybe gripping her hands or something, showing that she's tuning into the Force, and then have her look, and then like maybe show like a tight like film around her body or like some kind of a cocoon that she made to protect herself, and then have her like, you know, reaching out and like pulling, and then all of a sudden you can see like something in the ship kind of pulling towards her, and then it freezes because it's bolted in, and then she starts going towards it. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you sold me on it. I still think it would be kind of goofy, but sure, it would have made sense. Mm-hmm. And I've always said Star Wars has plenty of, you're going to have to, what's it called? Suspend disbelief, because you're watching a fantasy show, mm-hmm, right? But they never ask you to suspend logic. Lucas didn't do that.
Right.
Lucas made everything logical. May not been real, mm-hmm, but it was logical. Now, you can say, well, what about the sound in space? Well, because if you didn't have sound, the movie would be boring. That's right. Why there's sound. Mm-hmm. It's like those things don't matter. But as you bring up with the sound is really important. And one thing I think is also evident that I'm concerned that the people who are making the new episodes either aren't fans or are just fans of the action. Because little things, little Easter egg type things, every episode I can think of off the top of my head, and tell me if I'm wrong, but all of the six episodes that Lucas made, you get the crawl, then you get a ship either coming overhead or into view, and then you hear its engines. And that's how they all start.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Leia's ship in the first one.
Yep.
You've got the Star Destroyer in the second one. You've got the Star Destroyer and then the shuttlecraft in the third one.
Mm-hmm.
The first in the Phantom Menace, you've got that ship with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan going into the Neimoidian ship.
Mm-hmm.
Part two, episode two, you have Amidala's Naboo spacecraft coming into Coruscant.
Mm-hmm.
And then episode three, you just come in headfirst into a space battle, and the two starfighters jump into view and then are flying close over the...
That might have been the best part about that movie.
Oh, phenomenal. Yeah. That was great. I still love watching that.
Yeah.
That space battle, yep, that was great. And, I mean, it wasn't exactly what I wanted, but I don't care if it's exactly what I want. I just care that it's in the theme of what I want. It's just an exciting, interesting space battle.
I don't
battle.
Want it to be exactly what I want.
No.
Yeah.
But there's just certain little things that you expect, and they were always there. And so, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, right? But neither one of the new movies are like that.
No.
They don't start that way.
Right.
You know, it's like they don't – that's just something really small to me that you said you didn't pay attention to detail. And how is that getting by the directors, the writers, the Lucasfilm people, Disney? No one brings that up and says, isn't that odd that we're changing that? Oh, well, we're breaking away from Lucas. Why would you do that when that's what made all that money and made it so famous?
Well, then they take Force Awakens and they just basically rewrote Star Wars. So,
right, it certainly felt that way. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't an exact recopy. And I'll say, I was very hopeful with Force Awakens all the way from the start until they left Jakku in the Millennium Falcon. I liked that movie. I liked the Stormtrooper, yeah. You know, a non-clone breaking free and not wanting to do what he's told he's supposed to do in this fascist organization and escaping and finding a way to escape and the exciting escape in the TIE fighter and a woman, you know, the character Rey, who's struggling and a slave on this planet and wants to break free. Okay, I don't mind the mirroring of the first two films, which is basically the same thing of a kind of encapsulated person on a desert planet. That's fine. That rehashing's fine because it's its own story.
Right.
It's just the same themes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then once they took off in the great Millennium Falcon scene, that was all kinds of fan love, right? What a great scene that was. Fun, fast adventure, and I give J.J. credit on that. J.J. did make a film, action-wise, very honorable to Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of other things were not honorable to Star Wars in that film, but I can watch Force Awakens when it comes on TV, or if someone else is watching it. I can watch Force Awakens at any time and enjoy it. I don't love it, but I can enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's entertaining. It's a good movie. It's a good popcorn movie, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's a good popcorn movie. It's and you know, as a standalone movie too, I think maybe it could be one of the stronger ones.
Yeah, you know? I mean, just a standalone film. Yeah. But then in The Last Jedi, which...
The new films.
Right. But in The Last Jedi, there wasn't even a good action scene. I mean, they've got those bombers, which are super slow, which I guess is okay there because they're bombers. But that looked like that was almost most of their fleet, was just these bombers who apparently had never, I guess, had the tactical error of one of them being shot down and exploding, which caused all the other bombers to explode because of all their bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind that plot point, I guess, as a way of saying this is how you wiped out their fleet. But that was their fleet? That was all they had? And then you start to say, well, no wonder Leia was so pissed off at Poe Dameron for what he did. Because you're like, man, that's all we had. You took out a dreadnought, great, but that's not their only ship. They've got all those other ships. What are we going to do? And, you know, where and here's the other problem. Where does Star Wars go in Episode 9?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where they go.
What is left that you really feel you need an answer to?
Well, I mean, I really, like I said, Snoke was the big one for me. So now that he's gone and out of the picture, I guess kind of what the relationship will be with Rey and Kylo, you know, what kind of develops there? Is she joining forces with him? Is she going to destroy him and become evil? You know, who knows?
Let's hope. That would be at least exciting.
Yeah.
Or interesting.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of where I'm wondering how they're going to tie it all up with that storyline. Yeah, the Resistance, it's so hard to even care. You know, like, what... they haven't even shown much with that to
right.
me. And so I've kind of lost touch with that plot line.
I guess to me, like, just Last Jedi was just nothing but missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, just such an abandonment of anything interesting. And I don't know. It's almost like I felt like Rian Johnson was like, I just want to make this the most introspective, you know, not hippie-ish, but like eclectic Star Wars ever. But forgot that there has to be a story involved. Like, eclectic's fine, but what was eclectic about it? It was just nothing. I mean, you basically had no story. It was so boring, there was nothing that happened. You could have basically had nothing but the fight between Phantom Luke and Kylo. That's all you really needed. Maybe the killing of Snoke, you know, that was all you needed.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you go from here.
The scene with Yoda.
Well, that brings up a whole other issue.
Yeah.
Which is... And this was brought up by the Mr. Blankenship, and that's where I first really saw someone describe it just right. But I remember thinking, I love Yoda because he looked right? It was finally the puppet again. I liked that part, you know? Which, that's just a personal thing. It doesn't really matter. I mean, they could have done digital. I don't care. But I appreciated that part. Which goes into, like, a lot of the other stuff about the Star Wars films now is that they're so well made. Like, they're beautiful. Everything about them is well made. The actors are all trying really hard. like the editing is crisp and the, you know, but it's just hollow, you know.
The story just isn't as strong as the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I think that's what got lost in the second trilogy.
Right.
You know, we that was kind of the time where CGI was developing, and that was becoming a big thing, and Lucas was a huge part of that.
Right. And with Lucas, his movies are always about pushing the envelope, and usually pushing some kind of technological envelope.
Right.
And so it's like, I'm going to tell my story, but I'm going to do it trying to push things in a new way, because he's an inventor. He's a genius. He's a movie maker. He's an actual movie maker, not a picture maker, I guess. And what you're talking about with Yoda, the problem was that when Yoda met Luke, Yoda had a personality that was very annoying and very, like, you know, selfish or whatever and stupid, because he was trying to test Luke's patience, right?
Right.
And then he snaps Luke, and when he does, that's when he says to Obi-Wan, I can't teach him. He doesn't have the patience. I was testing him.
Mm-hmm.
Yet for some reason, the Yoda that shows up on Acto is the Empire Strikes Back goofy Yoda, not the real Yoda. And you're like, every other scene with Yoda in any Star Wars film has been utterly serious, right? He's a super serious person.
Right.
So it's like, again,
that's a good point too.
No attention to detail. Like, what did you actually watch these original films? Did you pay any attention? Did you even think that maybe you should consult fans when you first wrote the story arcs and review certain ideas and be like, oh, the fans hate these, we shouldn't do that. You know, they don't. I know they don't care about what the fans think, but boy, you do it enough, you're not going to get moviegoers anymore.
Yeah.
And so there was that issue.
Yeah, and Rey's parents, I think, is the other big one. You know, they tried to kind of quash that, but
right.
I
mean, and there was an interview with Rian Johnson, and this was crazy. So they said to him, is that really who her parents are? And
what do you mean, is that?
So an interviewer said, are Rey's parents really these nobody junkers who sold her for drinking
money?
Right,
right, right.
And he said, well, Kylo thinks that, or Kylo believes that, yeah. And they went, what do you mean? He's like, well, I'm not sure what JJ and so-and-so are going to do in the next movie. And I thought, there's the problem. You just exposed what you should never have exposed.
Yeah,
we didn't have an actual story planned out. He wrote his Choose Your Own Adventure, then I wrote mine, and now he's going to write another one.
Yep.
No connection. So now we could have JJ saying, oh, I really wanted to explore this, this, and this from my first movie. So now I'm going to go into those three things, but now I'm going to retcon them so they make sense with the last movie.
Yeah.
And now you're going to get a jumbled mess that I probably won't go see Star Wars the first week just until I hear reviews about. I just want to hear how bad it is so that when I do go see it, my expectations are in line with what I'm going to see. Because we've learned that we can't trust reviewers at all. Reviewers hated all of Lucas's Star Wars, hated them, every one of them. Yet the Disney reviews have been through the roof for these episodes, and they're not good movies. So it just goes to show you that I think reviewers are now the same way news is, where it's not actual opinions. It's just whatever the corporate entity wants, and that's what you get. And it's just really kind of disappointing.
Well, give me your overall grades for Force Awakens and Last Jedi.
So Force Awakens, I'll give a C+.
Okay.
Because it's watchable, and it is an interesting movie.
Okay.
I loved the trailers for it until I, you know, like I said, I loved the beginning of it.
Okay.
And seeing some of my favorites again and some new ideas. So I'll give that a nice C+. Last Jedi, we'll give it a D because Yoda was in it. And Luke was in it. That's the only thing that salvages it at all for me.
Wow. I mean, I pretty much have to give it pretty much the same grade. I think D for sure. I might be able to reach a little bit and say a B- on Force Awakens for me. But yeah, D for Last Jedi, unfortunately.
Yeah, just horribly disappointing.
Yep.
So we could go on about this all day, but I think we need to move on to Infinity Wars. I think we've probably already gone maybe a little bit over where we were planning. We're at an hour and 13 minutes, so we'll try and do this in 10 minutes, and then we'll finish off. Maybe we don't even need that long.
Yeah.
So where do you want to start, with grades, or do you want to start with descriptions? Or
I mean, first of all, for those of you listening, spoiler alert, obviously.
Yeah.
There may be some spoiler alerts coming up.
Yeah, we're going to give away the end of the movie, so.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the movie yet, please earmuffs.
Yeah, earmuffs.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. So for those of you out there, I mean, I have not been a comic book person ever. I didn't ever read comics. I still don't read comics. My only exposure to comics is really movies. I also haven't watched any of the cartoon shows they've ever had, when I was a kid, superhero just didn't really resonate. I watched Justice League a little bit, right? We all watched that one with Superman and Wonder Woman and stuff in her invisible jet. But that was about it. I didn't watch any of the X-Men stuff or anything like that. So I have very little background. I am solely coming into it as a movie fan. And I really liked this movie, but I want to give that caveat that I know some people were really unhappy with this movie, even though it's gotten great praise all around. There's a lot of fans who are like, no, man, they changed the story. They didn't do what they were supposed to. They actually did, you know, hamstring some things. You just don't know it because you didn't see it, which is how I sometimes think about The Last Jedi is maybe all these people who liked it didn't really follow Star Wars that close. They all say that they did, but maybe they didn't. And so to them, it wasn't like an abomination to do all this stuff because they just look at it as that one movie.
It's a good, very valid point.
And so I forgive people, or I don't forgive people. I don't mind what you think of any of these movies. I won't argue with you or fight with you. I'll give you my opinion if you ask. But I think it's important to note, as while I'm a very big follower of Star Wars, I was not a follower of Marvel at all until basically the movies, Marvel Cinematic Universe came out.
I'm just like you. I was not a big comic book guy at all. I did watch cartoons. You know, I loved Spider-Man and Justice League and all of those.
Yeah, I don't think I ever remember a Spider-Man cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Was it The Amazing Spider-Man?
Yeah. I think it was The Amazing
Spider-Man. Maybe Doc Ock. Maybe I did see him.
Yeah, so I watched a lot of that. There was a Superman cartoon that was great. Batman, of course. So, yeah, I was a big cartoon guy. But the movies, I only know from going to them. And I kind of, funny enough, Joanna and I watched Thor Ragnarok last night, and I kind of fell asleep about halfway through it. But it was pretty entertaining for the first, you know, whatever we got in, an hour or so.
It was my least favorite of the Thors, actually.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people loved it, and I don't mean to rip on that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was kind of jumbled. Like, I kind of got bored. I was like, what's really going on here?
I thought there was an opportunity, because the plot is cool, you know, his sister and
right.
All of that. So,
And she was the first daughter of King, right, of Odin?
Odin, yeah.
And then he came along later?
Right.
Okay.
Right, so. Anyway, back to the Avengers. The thing that I really enjoyed about it, and I guess that's what we'll jump into first, is just kind of our take on the movie. Does that
sure
just kind of try to do that real quick,
yeah,
and then give a grade and such. But my experience was awesome because I haven't been to an IMAX in quite some time, and 3D as well. So we had this huge screen in front of us, and and the sound, of course, again, just incredible. So just the experience of it all was really neat for me. But it was nonstop action, you know,
it was a war from
stop to finish. A war amongst superheroes and aliens and all that fun stuff. So just really action packed. The characters are great. I was really happy that the villain was not just believable, but you could kind of, you know, empathize with him, and just a kind of a well thought out movie. I was maybe the best Avengers that I've seen. I should just say general superhero movie. One of the better ones for me.
Yeah.
Overall. Yeah.
Well, including this one now, if it's in there, what are your like top three superhero movies? Why don't we say, well, I was going to say we could keep it in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or we could say total all superhero movies. Why don't we do all? How about your top three ever superhero movies?
Man, I don't know if I can put them in order.
Okay.
But I think either Dark Knight or The Dark Knight Returns, those two
So
are
the second
there.
And third of the Batman?
Yeah, those two are pretty good for me. Iron Man, I liked. I liked Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's more than three. But this is in there. This is in there with them. So I mean, that's probably like my top five right there.
Okay, I liked The Dark Knight. I thought The Dark Knight Returns or whatever the third one was
yeah.
a horrible movie. I barely could finish it the first time I saw it, and I've tried to watch it since, and just brutal. But I agree that Dark Knight was pretty good. I don't think that makes my top five because Iron Man for me is definitely in there. I know that was kind of the start of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I loved that movie. I just thought that
and
was
Downey
great.
Jr. was just made to play that role.
Made for that role.
Made to play Tony Stark.
So that was terrific. My favorite, without question, is Days of Futures Past. The one where Hugh Jackman goes back and they kind of merge the two different franchises of the X-Men together.
Yeah, the X-Men, and that is pretty good.
And while I did not like the newest one, the one with...
Apocalypse?
Yes. I did not like that film at all.
Yeah, I liked I liked First Class as well. X-Men First Class. I thought that was on par with... Days of Future Past.
Which one was that one?
First Class.
I like that a lot, too.
Yeah, yeah, the one previous.
That one was great. So those two for me, Infinity Wars, are going to be in those top five now. I love that. I think the first ever Batman with, maybe the first ever, the one with Michael Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Batman movie. And
Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I think maybe Wolverine. Or Logan, excuse me, the one where he dies.
Yeah, Logan's good.
That was good. So those would probably be like my top five or so. So anyway, I just thought it was kind of a good idea to kind of get out there.
Sure.
You know, what you really like. I loved this movie. I liked the fact that it was all action. I don't usually like all action, but I think it was warranted now because they spent like 16 movies or more building it up, up the war.
Yep.
And I loved what you said about Thanos was a deep character. He had reasons for what he was doing. May not have been justifiable, but in his mind it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good villain. He was deep. He had depth. It was well acted by Brolin.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
They didn't pull punches. They killed off a lot of characters that people love. Although, there has to be some kind of a caveat because you know there's a new Spider-Man movie coming out. Well, he dies in the end, so obviously he comes back somehow.
Well, does he die or does he just go somewhere else?
Well, I guess I don't know. I don't know the comics very well. So
yeah.
Now, from what I heard in the comics, a lot of them do die. But then I was sitting next to Brad, and Brad seemed to know or have read the comics. And he was kind of like, I don't want to tell you kind of what happens next. And I was like, okay, you know, don't spoil it then. Mm-hmm. So. He knows what happens in the comics. Doesn't mean that's what's going to happen here.
Yeah, sure.
But it seems like they've been fairly loyal to the comics, mm-hmm. even though, like I said, some people are not happy with things they have changed. Mm-hmm. But and obviously at the very end of the film, looks like Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel is going to be a big part of the next one. So
and her film comes out very soon as well.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to be Brie Larson.
Oh, the one that won the Academy Award for Room?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yep.
I tell you what, there are a few Academy Awards I thought were less deserved than hers for Room. I saw the movie. I know the book was fantastic. The movie was good, but it didn't seem like her role wasn't deep enough to win an Academy Award to me. Same thing with Casey Affleck in... What's that movie about? He's in Maine or something
the
like
Manchester...
that. Yes. Manchester City or
thing, I can't remember.
Yeah, whatever that one was.
Yeah.
Manchester by the Sea.
That's it.
And I watched that movie, and it's like, I guess to me, playing a depressed person isn't an automatic Academy Award to me. Maybe not automatic, but not that impressive. It's like, just act like life sucks. Everyone's had a time when their life sucked, unless you were super uber rich. Even then, you probably had some time where life sucked. So just remember when life sucked and how you felt. It's easy, you know. Mm-hmm. To just be mopey is not hard to me. But anyway, so I was kind of surprised that he won. But we'll see how she does with that. This obviously was a very well-directed and really well-written movie. Nothing felt rushed. And 2.5 hours, I felt like there wasn't a wasted scene.
Yeah, I agree. And there were some good separating plot lines, you know, that'll kind of come off of it, I think. You know, Hulk... was not able to come out and play. And I think there's obviously a lot behind the psyche of Dr. Banner and kind of what was going on there with him during the movie.
And why not reading the comics, why wouldn't Hulk come out?
So I saw this on last night. Thank God I watched the movie, otherwise I wouldn't be able to answer this. But because on Thor... He was, like, on this other planet where they were using him as a fighter, like in a
right. I've seen Ragnarok.
Yeah, right. So he was the Hulk for like 2.5 years straight.
Right.
So I
and
think
Hulk seemed to become his own personality.
Yeah,
and smarter. Like he was talking in half sentences.
So I think that's why I think Banner's trying to hold him off. So he's afraid.
No,
he's
I mean
take
like
him over.
Banner wanted Hulk to come out to the fight, and Hulk wouldn't come out. And all I can think of is that Thanos beat the crud out of him in the very beginning.
Well, I think that was part of it, for sure.
Okay, I thought he was scared or something.
Well, no, I think he'd never been felt probably.
Never been beaten?
Kind of, yeah, been felt any pain or anything.
Yeah.
It was probably like embarrassed.
Yeah,
you know?
Could be.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but one thing I do know, and again, I have read some things that people were not happy with that are big-time, long-time fans. But I feel for people who are maybe newer fans or people who are a little tiny bit more casual fans, I feel like they were like, what do the fans want the most? Okay, let's make sure we include 5 of these 10 things because this is what they really want. Mm-hmm. And then we can do what we will with the rest. And I think if Star Wars took a page from that and said, let's give them what they want and then move the story along, then you could have done – people would be very happy.
Sure.
People wouldn't be offended. People, I mean, the whole thing with Luke – that's never going to be fixable now that you took a character who was super strong of a character, right? Not necessarily super strong, although he was, but he was a strong character, right? He'd done the hero's journey. He had taken the mantle of what he had to do and all that kind of stuff. But he just turned into like, I'm a grumpy old dude sitting in my house and I won't come out. And because one of my students became bad. I mean, isn't that the exact opposite of going to the Emperor himself and facing death just to try to save your dad?
Yeah, it's weak.
What? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting that that's the route they chose with Luke.
Yeah. So it would have been nice to me, I think, if they had done some of what the fans wanted. And that probably would have fixed the problem. I think that's why Infinity War has been so well received. And boy, is it about to shatter any Star Wars record for funds.
Yeah.
So
watchability and all of that.
Yeah,
it's
all of that.
$250 on the opening weekend or something.
Well, they've already made $1 billion in the first week.
Yeah.
So
wow.
That's you know, now of course, you know, movie theaters get a portion of that cash, obviously, in the beginning. They get more than they usually. Mm-hmm. I think it's 20% to the theater the first week, and then it goes down by like 10% every week until it becomes like 40-60 in favor of the movie theater proceeds from the sales, something like that. But anyway, is there anything else you wanted to cover, or does that about do it for this first episode here?
Yeah, I think that about sums it up for me.
Terrific. Well, yeah. I appreciate anybody who tunes in and listens to this. Again, this is the Alien Offensive. This is our attempt at a sci-fi geek nerddom and video gamer podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope we weren't too boring or meandering. I know we did kind of scatter a bit, but we'll learn our footing here to be able to stay better on topic. But I think we did okay. So I want to thank Nate Dogg from South Dakota for coming on the show with me. And this is Mark Ademus signing out. Everyone have a wonderful rest of the day. Thanks so much.